A new governor brings with them new policy ideas and plans. Since this is what New Jersey will be experiencing starting next month, today we start with a look at a couple of the plans Governor-elect Phil Murphy has set as priorities. First, legalization of marijuana. Supporters say it will result in fewer people in jail for nonviolent crimes, better racial balanced drug prosecutions, and be a financial windfall for the state that's broke. Yet to be fully discussed are the possible legal problems, which could result for entities who would be part of the legal marijuana industry in New Jersey. Our first guest today joins us to examine this realm. She is a member of the Princeton law firm Eckert, Siemens, Charon, and Marlott, LLC, Jill Cohen. How are you today, Jill?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And to learn more about the legal services of Eckert, Siemens, it is EckertSiemens.com. We have a link over to our website, of course. And this references to a bill that is in the Senate as well as the Assembly. S3195 is about 64 pages, fairly detailed. You see a little surprise here and there, too, as you go through it. For example, police wouldn't be able to take action if they pull over someone and smell marijuana, has to be in plain sight. That's part of the criminal aspect of this. But reading the bill, Jill, I saw an absence of any kind of structure for, like I said in the introduction, any business outlet or professional outlet which would be involved in this whole new proposed industry in New Jersey. What concerns do you have when you look at the bill in its current state?
Well, I think looking at the bill in its current state is you have to look at where the bill is going to go. I mean, the bill was written, but it really wasn't taken that seriously because of the previous governor, of Chris Christie. I mean, he made his views against marijuana known far and wide, and so there wasn't really a strong push. I think that everybody who follows this industry or has interest in this industry was just kind of waiting for the next governor. And Governor-elect Murphy has said that it's one of his top priorities for 2018. So I think the bigger question is going to be, what's the bill going to look like now that there's a governor who's going to be in place that is more likely to pass it? And the sponsor of the bill has said, I think on several occasions, that he intends to revise the bill. And I think it was sort of like a soft introduction to put the bill out there and get some comments and thoughts on it. So I think the substance of the bill is going to change in the coming months, number one. And number two, what the bill does is that it creates a Department of Marijuana Enforcement and really authorizes that department to enact regulations that would give a lot more shape to the bill, or to the laws, rather. And the bill also would even allow local governments some authority to further shape and regulate various policies. So the bill is really just a bill, and it's going to continue to change, and it's going to take a while before we see it in effect.
I would imagine that the proponents for this idea obviously wanted it to come to pass, Governor-elect and others. So is it safe to assume that they are going to better define the degree and levels of responsibilities entities would have and not have and be responsible for?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if you're going to see that in the bill itself or if that's going to be pushed down, if that's going to be kicked down the road for the Department of Marijuana Enforcement. I mean, for instance, the bill doesn't give much detail about how many licenses they're going to issue. I know that in other states where recreational marijuana has been enacted, they break out the licenses between growers, product manufacturers, you know, such as whatever products the cannabis is going to be in, and dispensaries. So there's going to be different categories of licenses. I don't think the bill addresses that yet. I don't know if the bill currently addresses whether there is allowed home cultivation, you know, individuals cultivating the marijuana plants in their homes, but that's something that the sponsors of the bill have said they intend to put into the bill, that there will be no home cultivation. I mean, because don't forget, the driving force behind this is money and anticipated tax dollars. I think the figure that I read was that they expect $300 million in annual tax revenues from the sale of marijuana. So that's a driving force behind this, in my opinion. And so I think the entire industry in New Jersey and nationally is just going to get more and more regulated. But I think we will have answers to those, to the holes that are currently in the bill as it goes through its natural development.
Here's the curious question, too, because with tobacco cigarettes, for example, you can go in, buy a pack for $8, $9, $10, whatever the case may be, but there are some outlets where you can still get the kit and material and roll your own, and you save a couple of bucks by making your own cigarettes. I wonder if that's going to be possible with legal marijuana cigarettes then.
Oh, I would think so. I mean, just looking at Colorado, there's going to, you know, people think, when people get upset about the legalization of recreational marijuana, they talk about there's going to be people standing on every street corner smoking weed and smoking joints. And I don't think that's how it's going to look. I mean, if you look at other states where they've allowed more marijuana products, I mean, you have oils, you have liquids, you have candies, and so, you know, you have various edibles. So all those things are just going to need more and more regulation. So I would imagine that, yes, you could probably buy a pack at a dispensary, or you could roll your own, or you're going to see lots of these various products, is what I would imagine.
Do you see legal marijuana being treated more as a tobacco product or as an alcohol product is treated?
I think the alcohol analogy is right on point. I mean, when Prohibition ended, you know, people freaked out. But, you know, just like you can't make bathtub gin anymore, you know, alcohol is regulated. I think that's how recreational marijuana is going to be regulated as well. You know, the thing that makes marijuana a little bit different is that you have this medical component, and it's already in New Jersey and in many, many states regulated for its medicinal purposes. But I think that those regulations are going to continue to get more specific. But on the recreational side, I see it as very analogous to alcohol.
All right, well, Jill Cohen is a member of the Princeton Law Firm, Eckerd Siemens, Sharon and Merlot LLC. EckerdSiemens.com is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. When I first heard about this idea developing under the current administration, obviously with no chance in the world it was going to come to be, I thought about the debate that came about with bars and their responsibility of if they allow someone to have so many drinks, they wrap the car around a tree, can the surviving family then sue the bar. When you look at the bill, what do you see as far as holes with those responsibilities? Like, for example, if someone gets some marijuana poisoning, which is possible too, through the marijuana gummy bears, which are out there, lollipops, things like that, if they somehow fall into the hands of a child and there's marijuana poisoning, should there be a level of responsibility defined either in the bill, in the legislation, or when the commission is set up that is going to protect businesses or alert them saying, you know, you're selling it, some of this responsibility is and will go fall on you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, in any area of law, you're always going to look at causation. I mean, this is like a legal concept, but, you know, you have to be able to connect an act to causing a harm. So if you have a harm that a child gets poisoned, as you say, or somebody drives under the influence and, you know, has a car crash or something, you would have to show the causation that the act of selling it, contributed or caused the harm. And just like alcohol is regulated, I think marijuana will be similarly regulated. I mean, another thing that critics say is, you know, what happens? All these people are going to show up to work high. You know, they're going to be high on the job. Well, they'll get fired. I mean, employers can still have drug-free workplace policies, and they should. You know, I'm an employment lawyer, and I think it's going to be very similar to how people treat and look at alcohol. In terms of the bill itself having specific liability for people who dispense the marijuana, I think, you know, just like a liquor store is not having the primary responsibility when somebody goes and has a drug driving accident or when somebody goes and becomes an alcoholic, I think it would probably be similar for marijuana dispensaries in terms of their potential liability.
Although it might be more challenging if a liquor store sees someone stagger up and almost fall over the counter trying to buy another bottle of vodka. Hopefully the person behind the counter will not sell them that bottle of vodka. Be a little tougher to see, gauge how the level of marijuana intoxication someone has when they're trying to, in the future, purchase any legal marijuana through an outlet.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges that I see also for employers is that, you know, you don't, like with alcohol, you have a breathalyzer test and you have these scientifically accepted ways of determining if somebody is intoxicated with alcohol. But with marijuana, I don't know if the science is not there yet or if it's just not agreed upon or, you know, I don't know enough about how you determine when somebody ingested the marijuana or how it affected them. But I think that that's going to also be more regulated in the coming years, actually. I mean, also for medical marijuana purposes, and so that's an issue. I mean, and this is an issue that the country is facing as a whole, as public opinion on this begins to shift. You know, without advocating a position on whether it should go this way or it shouldn't go that way, there's no question that the country is becoming more open-minded to marijuana and you know, how to determine when somebody is under the influence in a detrimental way is something that we're going to have to kind of work out.
Well, the one thing I think we know for certain, that area outside of your workplace where you can gather and take your smoking break, only tobacco cigarettes, no marijuana cigarettes will be allowed in those zones probably.
I would hope so. I mean, I would counsel my clients who are employers to still maintain drug-free workplace policies even when recreational marijuana is in effect. I mean, just like you wouldn't want your employees to go outside and have a beer
at
their break. I mean, maybe you might want to, but wouldn't be advisable for the employer to permit that.
Maybe after dealing with some of your employees, you might be the one who want to go out there and have a pop or two.
Right. Maybe on a Friday afternoon, if nobody tells. I don't know.
That's
not my official advice.
No. Not taking a side either. You want to learn more about the services provided by the law firm of Eckerd Siemens here in Merlot, LLC, EckerdSiemens.com. She's a member of that law firm, Princeton. Jill Cohen, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.